Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. We're breaking down the heavyweight bout that occurred Saturday night. We got a little NBA action, a little college basketball action, some MLB, and some NFL, aka we have a full show of sports. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball in the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out. Hard hit into right. Back at the wall. Tie game.
John Cena.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws, because they're free. So 219 coming hot at you guys in the Sode. 218, and I'm flanked on my left and on my right by offensive and defensive coordinators Nikki Snacks Kreider and Alex Toss Me the Rock Tassopoulos are both in the house. And Alex Toss Me the Rock Tassopoulos has a little special message for those of you listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water.
Very special.
Yeah, I think what you were trying to say was
especial.
Un mensaje especial.
You guys, I've been working on my Spanish, so thank you for noticing.
Yeah, you're getting a lot better.
It wasn't starting at a great spot anyway to begin with. So you can
tragically bad at Spanish and French, as we all know.
All right.
No, but we're now sponsored by True Classic Tees. Nick and I are actually wearing True Classic Tees right now.
We're sporting classic tees right now.
Nick is wearing the classic navy shirt, and I am wearing the classic gray shirt.
Charcoal gray.
I had to look at you guys for affirmation because I'm colorblind, as you know.
I know. I was nervous that you weren't going to get that, but you did it.
Yeah, I mean, I was nervous too, but what I'm not nervous about is talking about our new sponsor, True Classic Tees. They're my favorite. We got a batch of True Classic Tees, all three of us did, and truthfully, I have not worn anything besides that the last week. I swear to God, I haven't worn anything else.
We went out this week, I wore each t-shirt each night, and crushed it.
Yeah.
Nick.
Yeah. I think, you know, we're all actors.
You're
we're
a
all
loser.
We wanna be hip. We don't wanna wear like crazy shirts. Like, we like the simple shirts. They match with anything, right? But True Classic Tees is super affordable too. They've got a 3-pack for just $32, and you can take 20% off if you use the code BELIEVE at checkout at trueclassictees.com. 20% off BELIEVE, BLEAV. Go get your True Classic Tees. I can't say enough about them. I really can't. I mean, they're actually so comfortable. I washed it. It didn't shrink. It's breathable. Mm. You could work out in it if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
I mean,
if I may jump on the True Classic Tee team.
Sure.
I am one for graphic tees, as you guys know, and I still enjoy these t-shirts. And
hey, take them to your local graphic designer and get a little graphic put on the tee.
You could do that too if you're really creative like Nikki Snacks Kreider, or if you don't want to and you want to crush it like Nikki Snacks Kreider, you don't throw any kind of graphic on it. Yeah. You just rock it out all
you
the
just
weekend.
Rock it.
But also a really cool thing is it's $32, you said, and if it's 20% off, that's about like $6 off right there. So it's pretty good. You got like $25, $26 for three really good t-shirts, really good material.
And
I think it's great.
26, as we know, is how many letters are in the alphabet. So amazing.
Nice.
Right?
26 letters in the alphabet.
Yeah. As we know, yeah.
Threading things together.
Threading things together.
Now on to sports.
On to sports, yes. Question number one. We got fan questions are back. We haven't done fan questions in a minute because we've had so many special shows. We were in Miami, then we had guests.
So many people want to be on our show.
I know.
And
it's exciting.
It's amazing.
We just give the people what they want. So
by the people for the people.
BF, BTP, FTP.
Yeah, nice. That's right.
There we go. Question number one, dear Josh, Nick, and Toss, from the Charity Stripe, with Kyrie out for the rest of the season, will the Nets make the playoffs? And that's from John in South Carolina, taking interest in Brooklyn basketball. Will they make the playoffs? They're comfortably or semi-comfortably sitting right now in the 7th seed. The Magic are the 8th seed, and they're 2.5 back. The 9th seed is the Washington Wizards, and they are 6.5 back. From the Brooklyn, or 5.5 back from the Brooklyn Nets. Yeah, they're going to make the playoffs, and it's not, but I don't think it's because anything that they're doing or will be doing that's special. I think the teams behind them are desolate. I mean, the Cavaliers, the Drummond experiment has been very up and down so far, and they're in the cellar. The Hawks, it's too little too late with John Collins back, even though I did pose the question to you at least, Toss, and I threw it on the Instagram. Can the Hawks make a playoff push? People DM'd us, thought I was crazy, which I was. But it's too little too late. The Knicks won't be making it.
I watched the Mavs play the Hawks on Saturday night.
They're good.
The Mavs played without Luka and without KP. The Hawks are, I don't know what you're talking about. The Hawks are garbage.
I don't think they're garbage. I don't think they're worse than the Knicks.
You've said,
to
me before that the Mavs, outside of their stars, on paper, are one of the, are not a good looking team.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't look
pretty. They're just incredibly well coached by Rick Carlisle. And Jalen Brunson goes down in the first quarter. And they were beating this Hawks team the entire game until the very end. And the one thing I will say about them was that John Collins and Trae Young, as we know, are promising young players, and they're great.
I think, but everyone outside, they could be good.
No, I don't think so.
In the future, I think they can be.
No.
You don't like what they have going on?
Not really. Not really at all, honestly.
I think the DeAndre
Point
Hunter
being,
pick
though,
is
it's,
weird.
It's not going to pan out this year for them,
the
and it's not like the
mess.
Western Conference where you have the teams that are past the 8 seed. Like, the Pelicans are really on a tear and could be gunning for that 8 spot and feasibly get there, but no one can really do that outside of the top 8 teams. Also, the Nets were 17-16 without Kyrie this year, before he came back. And, you know, that's over 500. If they stay over 500, they'll make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think you bring a great point about the Western Conference. Between the 8 and the 13 seed is the 5.5 we're talking about, between the 7 and the 9 with the Nets and the Wizards. I think the Wizards are without John Wall, but had they had John Wall this season, I think they would obviously be giving the Nets a run for their money, and as well as the Magic. I think then the Nets would be in a bad position. The Hornets are missing some pieces. The Bulls haven't been able to pull it together, and they're looking like they're going to have to kind of move some things around in the offseason. The Pistons stink on ice, obviously, but I think they know that and have realized that.
Right, so it's just tank
city
for
me. They're tank city for them. The Hawks and the Knicks we've already brought up. And that's really how it's dicing out in the Eastern Conference. My biggest question, though, now is, with Kyrie out, injuries lingered all season. KD will be – it's KD, but he's coming back from a major injury. DeAndre Jordan's not getting any younger, right?
No, and Jared Allen's better than him already.
And Jared Allen's already better than him, so it's a lot of money on the books right there. Are we going to look back in 3 years and see that obviously it's great for fandom and it's great to bring people into the Barclays in the years going forward, but I think we'll look back at the KD and Kyrie signings and just be disappointed, because as long as Giannis is in Milwaukee with Middleton and Bledsoe, I mean, this team's great, right? The Raptors seem to have a great thing going. A lot of big names are saying that Nick Nurse is the best coach in basketball, which you really could have a tough time to argue, because the Raptors are an absolute fire. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games.
He won the Stripey.
He won the championship last year, and he's the number 2 team in the East right now. The Celtics are getting better by the day.
Tatum is a superstar.
Yeah, they're just a little young. We saw in the Lakers, they just couldn't close out. And granted, they didn't have Kemba today.
No,
right?
They didn't. And they played a really close game against
the
Lakers.
To me, the Heat and the Pacers are also young and are getting better. And then with Oladipo back, and they have Jimmy Butler in Miami, Bam and Sabonis are both all-stars already.
Yep.
And the Sixers, I think the Sixers, the Sixers, the issue is watching the Milwaukee game yesterday on Saturday. And the issue with the Sixers is all of their buckets, they have to work, unless they're in transition, they have to work really hard for their buckets. It seems like a lot of the times.
Unless it's Ben Simmons going to the rack. Because he just scores with ease around 10 feet.
There's no threat. There's we bring it up all the time, but there's no real three ball threat. The biggest threat they have on the three is Embiid. And it's just going to be tough. If they have to go to Miami versus Miami having to go to them, having to play at American Airlines is going to be tough for them, I think, in the playoffs going forward. But I'm looking at all 6 of those teams, and I don't know, man. They're all still competitive. They're all really good. Plus, you have the Western Conference. I just can't see if Kyrie's injuries are lingering. Plus, he's not been, the Nets are fine without him. They're actually better without him.
Right.
You know, then are we going to look back at the situation and think it was a mistake? I don't know. That's just a
question.
I think
the one thing is that they've got both those guys locked in until the 2022-2023 yeah. season.
So it's
a long-term deal that they made with these guys, right? And, you know, KD's thinking that he and Kyrie are going to be there for the next 3 years and do similarly to what the Heat did in Miami. They're not going to, because the rest of the NBA is going to be better than them, I mm-hmm. think.
Yeah.
But it's the other pieces around them. Like, do you keep Dinwiddie? Does Dinwiddie want to stay there? Does he demand a trade after he plays pretty well for the rest of the season, puts up a decent performance in the first round of the playoffs, and then gets bounced? Who knows?
Yeah, I'm looking at a team like in the Eastern Conference. If they had Dinwiddie, they would be leaping the Nets, and they'd be in those tops. If they were one of my teams, I thought they were going to be the number four team in the Eastern Conference. Right now, they're in the number eight seed. They probably can max go. Yeah, if they had Dinwiddie, they'd be a completely different ball club.
Yeah. Also, Joe Harris, this is his last year on his contract. Is he going to sign with a team that he thinks is more of a contender? Because he knows he can go be that three-point shooter.
Or is he
going to
get Bogdanovich
specialist?
Money? Like, look at the money Bogdanovich got in Utah.
I don't think he's quite as good, but he's still young. He's youngish. He's 28, right?
But you know what you're getting. A team like the Sixers would kill for Joe Harris.
For sure. You know you're getting over 42% from three, which is something that not a lot of teams can say that they have one guy, and in particular, who can score over 15 points a game. So, it's just, you look at this team, there's a lot of question marks around this team.
Yeah, and we spoke in pre-show about delving into the NBA, and rather than force a segment, I think we could utilize the first question, at least not to go over the top, but heading into the second half of the season, just with the main teams, because we have, let's call a spade, the Warriors are toast, all the Eastern Conference teams not in the playoffs are toast. Right, I think they're all done. The Timberwolves, Cat's done for a minute. The D'Lo thing, we'll have to wait to see what happens next year. It's a long-term play.
Happy birthday, D'Lo.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Suns and the Kings, I mean, Suns I think are a little too far back, a little too young, but I kind of like the promise there. The Kings are just always injured. Like the MB3 thing now is like, Bagley's injured again. And it's, you know, what are we looking at there? The Pelicans, the Spurs, and the Blazers are going to be chasing the Grizzlies. And the Grizzlies, while we think, you know, on paper, again, we look at them like, look at the Mavs. I look at the Mavs, like, it's not a sexy team on paper, but they're playing good basketball together. Dylan Brooks warranted that extension. Obviously, Jaren Jackson Jr. is pretty wet. And then Ja is Ja. From the top teams, though, right, what are you looking to see from them going forward? A couple teams, anything that could surprise us, you think? And some teams you're not buying, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think this game today or yesterday between the Lakers and the Celtics was very telling from both sides. Mm-hmm. One, that the Lakers can close out games and they have their guy, obviously, and LeBron can still do it, right? He hits a two-pointer at the end to pretty much ice the game. So on their side, I'm less worried. And they also go and get Markieff Morris.
Yeah.
They signed him for like $1.5 million or something like that. Another good piece for them, a good three-point shooter, a guy that can rebound and defend, who can find minutes in the playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, it's kind of like, who do they have on the court in crunch time? Who are they putting out there? And I don't know if they have to go smaller and they're playing a team like the Rockets deep in the playoffs, like what guards are going to be out there for them. That's my one question mark with the Lakers, although I do, right now, they're my favorite to win it all.
Mm-hmm.
Still.
I think in the Western Conference, I think we could go the Mavs are good, but maybe a piece or a year of seasoning away from being in those top four or five teams in the Western Conference. I think the Thunder are in a similar position, though they have Chris Paul and he's playing all-star basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a better chance to upset somebody than the Mavs, but yet again, it depends if they both are matched up. If right now the Mavs are matched up against the Nuggets, and I feel way more comfortable with them going into Denver than I do Oklahoma City going into the Staples Center against the Clippers.
For sure.
The Rockets,
I actually think if the Mavs are where they are right now, they're matched up against the Nuggets,
they become
a sneaky
contender,
because I think that they actually played the Lakers really well this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a tough time, the Lakers do, defending Luka, because, you know, Avery Bradley's just not big enough to guard him, and LeBron is not quick enough at this point in his career to guard him. So that could be an interesting, like, second round if the Mavs can squeak past the Nuggets, who are a great team. I don't trust them offensively late in games. If Jokic isn't working out late in the game because he has an off game, can Murray put the team on his back? No. Who's their third scorer? I don't know. Is it Will Barton? It shouldn't be.
Yeah, I don't. The thing with the Nuggets and the Jazz, when it comes down to crunch time, and the Mavs do have that with Luka, and the Rockets obviously have it in spades with Westbrook, Harden, and we know about both Los Angeles teams in the Western Conference. I love Jokic. Jokic is playing again like a top five MVP candidate.
Been playing amazing the last couple months.
Amazing. Yep. I think Spider and Gobert are great, though the Conley thing is just like not working out. And I love the Clarkson deal, but I look at the Jazz like I look at the Sixers. If they're the five seed, you know, and they don't have home court in the first round, they're in trouble in my position. Yeah. The way I'm looking at it. And the Rockets, I don't think the small ball thing is going to work when you have to guard Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I am excited to see what that looks like.
Should
though.
Be interesting. It's, to me, it's like when I go into fantasy baseball and I don't have a closer on my roster. I think it's a good idea. You know, I think I say, fuck it. I'm just going to win wins and getting strikeouts all week. But then all of a sudden, my ERA blows up, my WHIP blows up, and I have no saves already. So I've lost three categories out of the five of pitching categories.
Right.
So it just, you need that
balance.
It's
like drafting three wide receivers in a row in rounds 1, 2, and 3 in fantasy football mm-hmm. in a standard league where the running back is way more important.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, you need a big man, and they don't have any. Like you can't play big ball. So a guy like Jokic, a guy like Anthony Davis are going to get theirs. And even if you make it out of the Western Conference, you run into a buzzsaw with Giannis. But yeah. In the Eastern Conference, I'm looking at it. We went through a lot of those teams. And again, I think the Raptors are well coached. I think the Celtics are years.
Yeah, I want to bring up my second point of that game yesterday is that, like Nick was saying, Jason Tatum is a superstar. He scored 41. And I think that shows to me, and if he can continue to do it up until the end of the season, that they have their go-to guy and that late in games, he can be that guy in a big playoff series.
Versus having to really rely on Kemba, which is great.
Right.
I mean, Kemba didn't even play in that game. I think, and then Jaylen Brown was amazing as well.
Yeah, and then once Kemba gets in, Brad Wanamaker gets out of the lineup, and that I like even more.
Yeah, I think they match up well against the Bucks. It's just nerve-wracking the Bucks have home court, and I think it does matter in the NBA still. And Giannis is very tough to handle down low in the paint, coming down. You with that Euro, the Euro step is just so quick and so long that he's already at the basket after just the first bounce, really. Yeah. And I just
you
think,
just you know how to defend them though, which is the crazy thing is you wall off Giannis. You don't let him get to the paint, and then you make those other shooters try and beat you.
It's almost worked to their advantage that they have Giannis because everyone is so focused on him and all the media hypes him that nobody ever talks about Middleton, all-star. Nobody ever talks about Bledsoe, who's been playing great basketball since he's got to Milwaukee. Lopez has been great since going to Milwaukee. Dante DiVincenzo has been awesome this year. His plus-minus is great, and he's been great when he's on the court. He could maybe become the next J.J. Redick. His shooting has to improve a little bit, but he's great going to the rack. He uses his body well, and he's not as small as people assume, you know. And they just have good pieces all the way around, and they rotate well. And Budenholzer is a good coach. I think the Bucks of any team in the entire NBA, I am most confident in at least getting to the finals. I'm not saying they're going to be my pick. But I think I'm most confident. I think my pick of the Clippers is wrong just because they don't have enough time to play together. Now it's past the point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. But I also want to see that Western Conference Finals between the Lakers and the Clippers because I think it's going to be really...
I want to see it.
I want to see it really badly.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how things shake out.
All right, should we just make some... Should we make some finals predictions?
Right now?
Yeah, why not?
Nikki. We'll go to you, man. You've been a little silent over there, enjoying the talk. Who do you got in the finals?
I like the Celtics, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I think they get it done, especially since how Tatum's been playing. He's coming into his own. Jaylen's been awesome.
Jaylen's been great.
He's been amazing. I mean, like you said today, with Kemba out, they still handled business. They didn't win, but, I mean, they put a really tough team. When Kemba's fully healthy, I mean, it's, you know, that's a pretty dope team. Great coach, too. And then the West, I guess I have to say the Lakers, but I do think that the Clippers need more time to kind of mold together as a team with Paul George, Kawhi, and now Marcus Morris. They haven't had like that many games to play together.
If any,
so,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think those two teams are up in the air for me. I think that will be the Western Conference Finals, and it'll go 7 games. Mm-hmm. Lakers probably get it done.
Mm. Yeah. No, I mean, it's interesting that, like, Kawhi is so, so, so good. When he is one-on-one against anyone, he can't be stopped. He'll score at will every mm-hmm. single time. But Paul George has not been quite as good as he was last year.
He hasn't played. He's been injured.
And when he has played, he seems to, like, he disappears sometimes, where I forget that Paul George, an NBA superstar who's a top 15, 10 player in the league is on the court.
Yeah, I mean, he was sick.
Which should never happen.
He was sick last year because him and
I
Westbrook,
never forget that LeBron and Anthony Davis are on the court.
No.
I never forget
that. And I understand what you're saying completely, and I think the issue is that he hasn't had time to gel with the team and mold into Kawhi's
and
game. Exactly, in Lou Will's game. So you're going with the Lakers and toss.
The Lakers, and I agree with Nick, actually. I think that the Celtics are going to get there, and I think we're going to get a classic Lakers-Celtics finals. Which would be great.
It would be great. And
you think the Bucks are going to get
there? Yeah, I think we're going to get the best finals we'll get with Milwaukee, with Giannis versus LeBron. It'll be...
I mean, I'd love to see it. Wouldn't complain at all.
It'll be what we always wanted with LeBron versus Kobe. And this is when we're getting the best guy in the Eastern Conference versus the best guy in the Western Conference. We're getting the showdown we need for the NBA, I think.
Okay.
Cool.
There it is.
And that's NBA talk and question number one. We molded those together. Question number two, dear Josh, Nick, and Toss from the Charity Stripe. Are the Bears a team that needs to make a move for a quarterback in the draft or free agency? And that's from Cody in Chicago. People hate Mitch Trubisky in Chicago. They want his head. They really let you down, Nick, because that was your Super Bowl pick. And you know what? You can't really poo-poo that, because even if you had some semblance of game early on in the season, their defense is still great. And they need to lose some pieces on the defense. Eddie Goldman's a big loss. Akeem Hicks is a big loss on the defensive front.
It's a very boring offense.
Very boring offense. So now with Jameis available, who's the opposite of boring, you have Brady, you have Mariota, who might be a cheaper one-year option right there.
Have a Cam Newton trade maybe.
Potentially. And you have a top 15 pick in the draft. Do you cut the cord on Mitch Trubisky?
I don't think you draft a quarterback.
Okay.
I think you bring in a quarterback.
Okay.
And
who can compete for a starting job.
Who can compete, yeah.
Is it worth trading a second-round pick for Cam Newton, do you guys think?
Yeah. I think it's worth it. I don't know if it's going to work.
If you trade a second-round pick for Cam Newton, don't you think that... Is he competing? Is there...
Yeah, I still think they compete.
So at that point, are you trading a second-round pick for a guy who can compete?
Yeah.
You would do it?
Yeah, I would still do it, because I still think that Cam has a lot left in the tank. You know, I think that there's a lot of...
And it's a win-now type of situation.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of, like, uncomfort in Carolina. Obviously, all the injuries, but just the way that they kind of handled it.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm with you. I think they are in an interesting situation because they are win now. They have a top-end pick in the draft. And we'll see a lot of offensive linemen fly off the board, a lot of defensive linemen, and they really don't necessarily need that. They just let Amukamara go. Obviously, Okuda is going to be a top-end pick, but you could see a guy like Diggs, you know, go to them in the draft, a cornerback, right? A guy like Christian Fulton, who a lot of people are falling in love with and it should be falling in love with. If he could slide out of the top 10, the Bears can move up to get him, or they could let him fall and snag him there. I think the Bears are in that little sweet spot, like we saw with Derwin James when he fell, Minka Fitzpatrick when he fell. They'll be the first to claim the guy that falls out of the top 10 that should be a top 10 pick. So I don't think they should make any drastic moves right there. I think that going forward, I think the second round pick's risky. If they could do a 3 and a 5, I'd be more inclined to do that. But I think, Nick, I think you bring up a great point. I think Toss too. I mean, you know, if you can get Cam Newton and Cam Newton's healthy, it just changes the offense.
Big time.
And they like to run with the quarterback too.
Oh yeah.
So that helps. So the Bears go get Cam Newton. That's our diagnosis right there. Very simple.
And you like Cam Newton over Mariota to compete?
I like Cam Newton over Mariota for sure. I mean, Cam Newton's won an MVP. He's been to the Super Bowl. Mariota has not proven himself in this league at all.
It's not a much of a Mariota to me is like, he's not.
Yeah, I mean, the only contention point would be that Cam Newton, we don't know what his health is, and Mariota did play last year.
But we
year.
Also don't really know what Mariota's health is, because he's also had a lot of injuries in his career.
But that's not, I mean, you have to look at, like, with some recency bias behind it, Mariota was playing. He was playing for Tennessee. He just wasn't playing as well as Ryan Tannehill.
I know, but I think you have to consider the fact that Cam Newton's had almost two full seasons to recover at this point, you know, because he didn't play at all because, you know, the injuries came from the season before. So, I think
it's more cost-effective to go get Mariota, but it's also more of the same. And if you're in win now and you've got to compete against the Packers, who are good, but you can beat them, the Vikings, who are good, but you can beat them, look, I think the NFC versus the AFC is way more wide open versus the giant you have to kill. The AFC got to be Pat Mahomes. That's it. Bottom line. The NFC, the 49ers sprouted out of nowhere, and they're here to stay, but they went from literally worst to first.
Yeah, I mean, they could be defeated.
They could be defeated. I think if the Bears play their cards right and do things correctly, I think that they're really in a position to make some noise, right, this season. But going forward, thing does need to be done at the quarterback. I just don't think Trubisky is the answer, and I think everyone is pretty much on the same page with that. Cool. Moving on to question number three. Dear Josh, Nick, and Toss from the Charity Stripe, Zion or Ja going forward? And that's from Justin in Florida. Who we got real quick down the line?
I got Ja.
I got Ja, too.
You've got your Grizzlies hat on, so.
I do.
It's only fitting. Zion, without question.
I think Zion's the better basketball player. I just think, the injury thing, listen, it could be a blip in the radar. I just think Ja's ability to take over, he's looking like he could potentially be Westbrook with a better jumper, which has been, if Westbrook always had the jumper we always wanted him to have, he could be the best player in the NBA. Not saying Zion can't, because Zion, you know, at his rawest is dominating guys. He's a man amongst men. He's a man now at this point for like a 19-year-old kid. He's playing with the big boys, and he's ferocious on every facet of the game, plays his hardest, and he's really turned that Pelicans team around as a rookie in his first 20-so games. I just think that, I thought this Grizzly team was going to suck. Ja makes everyone around him better. I didn't think he was going to be worth taking ahead of RJ Barrett. I was wrong there. And just time and time again, he hits clutch shots. He's not afraid to, talk shit, talk smack. And he's well respected around the NBA. And I just think you need a big, to be safe. That's why I'm not loving the Rockets, because they don't have that. But at the end of the day, I think great guard play can really get it done.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
that's why.
Cool. I think it's an eye test. I'll take the guy that I've never seen anything the likes of before, and the guy who comes back from an injury and is already doing amazing things, and is a better basketball player right now. I think he is. I think he's a better basketball. Yeah, he's a better basketball. He does more. He does more, and part of that is just because he's so athletic. Obviously, everyone talks about the second bounce, but he's a nightmare to defend. He's a nightmare on the defensive side. He's just, his three-pointer is actually pretty good. He's unbelievable. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I want to watch every single game he plays.
That is true.
I enjoy watching it, but I'm not going to put on every single Memphis. I want to watch every single Pelicans game, because I'm afraid I'm going to miss 7 highlights.
So if they're both fully healthy, is there any way, the trajectory you see?
Yeah, there's no way that Ja Morant ends up becoming a better player down the line. If they both stayed healthy for the next 10 years, Zion Williamson will absolutely be a better basketball player in the conversations of everyone who talks basketball.
And you think he could be like Giannis, like that dominant?
Yeah.
I agree. I think he will too. But I don't know. There's something about Ja. Yeah, it's the injury thing. I think
I'll be like
me.
You know what?
The way that he plays.
Shame on me if I think that a guy that I think is going to be who could potentially be a top 10 basketball player ever. It's basically, here's what I'll say: is if I knew I there's no way I could have known that Greg Oden was going to get hurt and that his basketball career was going to end up in the shitter. There's no way I could have known that. And for me to project that he's going to get hurt is something that I think is stupid to do.
I think it's dumb to project he's going to get hurt, because you never know with those things. I just feel like Ja is a little safer, and that's why I'm going with him.
Yeah,
I think he's going to. Will he be as good as Zion?
Why would you be safe, though? He's not as good.
But I don't think he's that crazy far behind.
But it was the same thing that you were saying between Luka and Trae Young, and Luka is so much better than Trae Young. Zion Williamson just has those tools in his toolbox. He has those there. That's not even real English, but clearly I'm animated about it, so that's why things are getting messed up. But I think that Zion's just the better guy. I think he's a better guy. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any NBA analyst say they would take Ja Morant over Zion Williamson.
That's fair.
Well, I'm not an NBA analyst.
Moving on.
I wish you were, though, Nick.
Nick, that'd be so cool if you worked for one. It'd be so fun. So many perks for us, really. You should step it up.
Yeah, I should probably brush up my basketball skills a little more.
Yeah. Question number four, dear Josh, Nick, and Toss from the Charity Stripe. Should the Vikings move on from Stephon Diggs, and that's from Max in Chicago, should they move on from Diggs, get some assets back, maybe a first rounder, and see what they can do with that?
Do you think people are going to pay a first rounder for Diggs?
I think you get maybe a second and plus, second and a fourth.
I don't think you get a first.
I don't know. I think teams pay that price nowadays.
Not for Stephon Diggs, though.
They got a lot for Odell, and I know it's Odell Beckham Jr., but it is a headache. And Diggs, if Odell's the sixth best receiver in the league, Diggs is like the 11th.
Yeah, I don't
know. Granted, there's so many good receivers in the draft class, and you can just take one on a cheaper deal. But Diggs is a surefire thing. But I don't know. I'm just saying.
I even think it might still be worth whipping him for a second and a fourth.
Oh, yeah. I think it's worth
it. You need that contract gone.
You need that cap space, and you can't really risk, you know, losing the guys on the line, on the defensive side or the offensive side of the line. You need that. And I'd rather them, you know, get rid of that contract, use a second-round pick maybe on a wide receiver. Obviously, use that first-round pick on, you know, something more pressing on the defensive side of the ball, on the defensive backfield, because the defensive backfield is nothing to write home about, and that needs to be addressed immediately.
Okay.
Right? But I listen, man, I don't think a wide receiver team makes – Sorry.
No, wide receiver definitely does not make or break your team.
Because I mean, if it did, Calvin Johnson and the Detroit Lions would have won the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
So I think if you can expend him for more draft capital and get your defensive backfield sorted and get, you know, more help on the offensive and defensive line, more depth there, I think you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even though Thielen did have some injury issues last year, and you have to be weary of that. And so did Cook, and you kind of limped into the playoffs a little bit, but you did beat the Saints in New Orleans, and I think it's a competitive team. You're in the last year of Cousins' contract. I think you have to kind of, but then it's a toss-up, you know? Is Diggs win now, or is bolstering the depth of the roster win now?
Right, what happened? Like, if you take Diggs away, and then are we looking back at their season after next year and being like, oh, they were one wide receiver, they were Diggs away from,
you know, yeah,
from winning.
Yeah,
you know?
You know, here's the thing. I don't think a lot of people look at it that way, saying they're one wide receiver away from. I mean, if you look back at history of all the teams,
I think the Packers and the Saints are, but
that's a rarity.
I don't know. I think the Packers were one call away from winning that game, or one defensive stop away from winning that game. You know, I wouldn't say necessarily. Yes, the Saints could definitely use more wide receivers, but I don't think that was the reason why they didn't go further in the playoffs.
Yeah, they had a bad game.
You know, they didn't play great on defense.
Yeah, and their offense was stagnant.
But exactly.
Yeah, I think it's tricky. I think I would move Diggs if you can get a second and a four. If you can get a first, 100%. 100%. I threw this out there. I said this was crazy. I threw it out the other day. I said, if I don't know if the Giants would do this, but if you're the Vikings, you throw the 26, which they have, and Diggs for the fourth overall pick, maybe a fourth rounder as well, you get Okuda.
I don't know if the Giants pull the trigger on that.
It's risky. It's risky, but you know what? The Giants are all in on the offense.
Yeah.
You have to make sure this offense is perfect and ready to run, because you got your franchise signal caller. You know, you have Saquon, and you have to crush it in free agency, because New York is still a great place
big
to play.
Market, yep.
A big marketplace to play. Address the defense there. Use your later round picks. Use that 26 pick. You still get Diggs, right? You could use that 26 pick, and you have later picks going forward. Then use that on the defense as well. I don't think they're in a kudo away from being competitive. I think they definitely need the depth, and I think Diggs just adds big flavor of the offense, where, you know what, the Eagles, their offense is kind of up and down.
I think
the Cowboys' offense is kind of up and down, and I think he fits that system. And I think if they get Diggs and Daniel Jones is what I think he can be, and Barkley's healthy.
Right, and Sterling Shepard is playing in a number two role where he actually will thrive.
Golden Tate's the number two.
And Darius Slayton also had a good season.
And then you have Evan Ingram.
And then you got Evan Ingram, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous offense.
It's a really dangerous offense all of a sudden. And it's a lot to work with Joe Judge. You know, it gives him a lot to work with, gives Jason Garrett a lot to work with, and I think that really changes things going forward. I think it's a big splash that they need. I don't think they're in a CUDA away from being super competitive.
No.
And I actually think they're going to trade back maybe not in that deal.
I think they're trading back with a team who wants a quarterback if they're trading.
Sure. You know? But I think Joe Judge is, from the Belichick standpoint, and I think he will move to get more picks. That's how it's done.
Perhaps maybe even the Panthers trade up for that pick.
Yeah. Cool. Question number 5, dear Josh, Nick, and Toss, from the Charity Stripe. Sleep a team in the MLB to look out for, and that's from Max in Texas. We'll go down the line.
I'll defer to you guys on this.
Okay, yeah. Fair.
What are we considering a sleeper?
Okay. The Yankees, the Astros, and the Twins are all favored in their division.
Okay.
Dodgers in the West. I think there's no real guy in the Central, so anyone you throw out, it could be a sleeper team. I think the Mets, the Braves, and the Nationals are not sleeper teams. I don't think as well. I think you could throw in a non-sleeper team. I don't think I don't think the Rays are a sleeper team either.
Okay,
but anybody else you throw at me, I could be interesting.
Okay.
You had one earlier today. I could throw mine out while you're looking. I think an interesting team in your division, Nick, because you're a Padres fan, in your division, a team to look out for other than the Dodgers is the Arizona Diamondbacks.
I'd very much disagree with that.
Wow. They were not bad last year, and they had Bumgarner, and they added Starling Marte.
I know, but Bumgarner is not the same Bumgarner as he used to be.
He doesn't have to be electric, but he's still not very old, and he just has to be good. I mean, they're a good team. And I don't think they're going to make a big splash, because at the end of the day, I think the teams that we'll see in the wild card are going to be two of the three of the Braves, Nationals, and the Mets. Whoever doesn't win that division are going to be the two wild card teams. I think you guys can make things interesting, obviously.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick a sleeper team to win a division, I think the Reds need to be the favorite for the Central. I think they're the deepest team in the NL Central.
I agree that they're the sleeper team for the Central for sure. I threw out the Cardinals earlier today, but they did win their division last year.
Yeah.
I thought when you posed this question, sleeper team to win it all.
Okay.
And the Cardinals to me are our sleeper team to win it all.
Okay, that's a great.
I mean, I think Flaherty, you know, I think he's my guy to win the Cy Young this year.
Great second half.
You know, he's really coming to his own. You know, spring training just started, looking really good. I mean, Goldschmidt is going to have a full season with them, and it's going to be electric. You know, that
they're missing Ozuna, which worries me a little bit.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, they've got
they always figure it out. Yeah, I will say that much.
The Young's got another year under his belt as well.
Yeah. And
Colton Wong's electric.
I think we see the Brewers drop off.
I do too.
They don't have the pitching for me to get it done. Even though I like Keston Hiura, the second baseman, a lot, and we'll get more of this into the.
They got a great offense, but they don't know pitching.
Yeah, and you need that because I think the Reds have all of it in spades.
And then you know you look at the Cardinals bullpen too.
Great,
it's an amazing bullpen.
Gallegos is awesome. I'm interested to see how they use Carlos Martinez. Andrew Miller is back and fully healthy.
Yep.
I like that as a good sleeper pick to win it all. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good. Anyone in the AL you're looking at that could really make some noise for you?
Let me think about it.
I think a team, I'll throw my, because the A's make the playoffs last year and so do the Rays.
Yeah.
I think a sleeper team, I'm not going to throw the Red Sox out because I don't think anybody really sleeps on them because they're a big market team. And yeah, they lose Mookie Betts, but Sale is back.
Yep.
Verdugo is still a good young player. And Benintendi could not be any worse. Plus Devers, Bogaerts, and Martinez played at all-star levels last year.
Honestly, like, it's so hard to pick a sleeper team in the AL because
it's a big drop-off.
There's a huge drop-off from the 1, 2, and 3 and everyone else.
I think if I could go on your train, a sleeper team that could be the your Cardinals are the AL for me.
Twins?
No, because I think the Twins won 100 games last year. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if they won, but I think it's in that division, actually, weirdly enough. The Indians.
Okay.
Jose Ramirez was good in the second half, horrible in the first.
Also depends on what they're willing to do with their players. They're still shopping people.
I know, but I think they should just stick it out at least one more go-around because you had Lindor, who missed the first half. Ramirez was terrible. They both get back in the second half. They're close to the playoffs. They won 90 games last year.
Yeah.
Clevenger's in and out. If Clevenger's fully healthy, Clevenger to me is a top 10 pitcher.
Jose Ramirez got hurt in spring training too.
Yeah, I think Shane Bieber is good.
He's great.
Brad Hand, you and I both know, is a very good pitcher.
Yep, Clevenger.
Awesome. Clevenger, like I said, I think
he could be an AL Cy Young.
Yeah, he's like my dark horse for the AL Cy Young. Now he is nursing an injury going into spring training, but if he's fully healthy and ready to go. I mean, Carlos Santana was good last year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think why not re-sign Puig if you're them and just run it and see how it goes?
I know.
I want to sign Puig.
Yeah.
As like an S7 or an 8 hitter, you can't really get much better than that.
I think the White Sox could be a sleeper to make the wild card.
Okay. Dude, I think it's cool.
They're deep. They're adding players.
Nick Madrigal's going to be sick, by the way.
Yeah.
You're a UK, yeah. He's going to be a gnarly second baseman. He's good. No, why? You just happy because I said the name Nick?
No.
Oh, you're just smiling. No, Nick Madrigal.
You just happy because you said the name Madrigal or what?
It's a cool name, Nick Madrigal. I mean, yeah, they're deep as hell. They made the Yasmani Grandal signing at catcher was a good signing. Edwin Encarnacion, they bring him. They're bad heavy. Luis Robert is a top five prospect in baseball.
Eloy.
Eloy Jimenez. I mean, that team just yams, potatoes. But yeah, those would be our sleeper teams.
Will they be the better team in Chicago this year?
Ooh,
that's a good question.
That's a great question, Tom.
That also depends on what the Cubs want to do with Chris Bryant. You know, they're trying to shop him too.
It would be so interesting if Chris Bryant gets moved to Colorado or somewhere, and then it has to be a three-team trade. The Braves need to go, okay, if we're going to compete with the Nationals...
They need to add Arenado or Chris Bryant.
And the Rockies need to move Arenado to the Cubs. the Cubs go, we don't have to pay Bryant, because I don't think they want to, because I don't think they think that he's worth the money he's going to command. Right. And I'm with them on that. But I think Arenado is. And I think Arenado would still be great, and his bat would still hold up in Chicago. I think Chris Bryant needs to go to Atlanta, at least for the one-year deal here.
Or the Rangers.
Or the Rangers, maybe, if they make a splash. But one of those teams need to get involved with the Rockies, and the Rockies need to get as many prospects as they motherfucking can for Nolan Arenado. From the Braves have a great farm system. The Braves have such a deep farm system. At what point are you going to pull the trigger?
I don't know. I mean, I think all their guys at this point that are going to be the core foundation of their team have already come up.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah, they have some guys still that are good.
I know what you mean. But, like, in terms of, like, their offense, like, it's pretty solidified besides adding that third baseman.
Yeah, that one outfielder, Christian Pache, and they have another guy. Okay, Christian Pache, he's a good outfielder. But other than him, and they may have one other guy that I'm blanking out on. But, yeah, I'm with you. They have a bevy of young pitchers, yeah. And Colorado – is Colorado would blow anybody for a pitcher. Seriously. Yeah, 100%.
I'm sure they would.
Who would want to pitch there, though?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
Unless they got a trade for him.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty – if the owner of the Rockies or the GM, whoever drew the short straw, would blow a homeless man for, like, DeGrom. They would. Yeah, exactly. And those are our fan questions, guys. Keep them coming. We love them. Next up, biggest balls of the week.
Balls of Steel.
Biggest balls of the week brought to you by Gold Bond. No Chafe Life is a safe life.
Gold Bond.
Sponsor us, you motherfuckers. It's been 2 years, you bastards. I swear to God. If Gold Bond sponsors us, I'll shoe nice a bottle of Gold Bond. I'll eat the whole.
Hey, shoe nice here.
Hey, it's me, shoe nice. What an animal.
You can buy that guy for like $10 on Cameo.
He needs to be in the Hall of Fame. Biggest balls of the week goes to Tyson Fury. 7-round TKO. They threw in the towel. The Wilder camp threw in the towel at the MGM Grand.
Rightly so.
On the Saturday
Goodness
night.
Gracious.
And he just bodied him. I mean, I it's so interesting. I feel like...
Nick, should they have not thrown the towel in?
I think it was just a weird time to throw it in. Like, he was bleeding from his ear the entire time.
Well, they should have thrown it earlier.
That's what I'm saying. If they were going to throw it, why not throw it earlier? Like, why are they just randomly...
I think he got hit with that jab right up the middle, and then I think at that point they were like, okay, he can't even protect himself anymore.
I'm not as savvy with boxing commentary as I would be with baseball, basketball, or football commentary, so I know what I'm saying is if... Listening to commentary for baseball, basketball, football, I know when I'm listening to good commentary or bad commentary.
Yeah.
Boxing, I'm still a little iffy on that, but I did like what the former champ Lennox Lewis was saying with how the Wilder camp was kind of absent. And Toss, you said you saw it too, after like round three.
Yeah, and they were mentioning it in the live stream. They were like, they're not attending his wounds that he clearly has. Like, he's got a cut on the eye. He's got his ears bleeding. Like, why are they not going after that? And that was in like round four.
Yeah, the Fury camp had a clear cut strategy. Mm-hmm. They knew what they were doing.
Excellent game plan. Staying on the offensive, keeping Wilder backing up, which he's not accustomed to. You know, he's accustomed to going on the offensive and landing that one haymaker that puts guys on the mat, which he's done how many?
It was
39 times.
It was a really good fight though.
Yeah, I mean it was
an entertaining fight.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Both these guys are good.
Fury is so fun to watch.
They're both fun to watch.
But his like herky jerky, like kind of just like bob that he does.
Dante Wilder's blood.
Disgusting.
Oh, my God.
It was like Gene Simmons, like tongue work. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
So hot.
Yeah.
I felt like, did he like look into the camera?
No, he looked at his wife. And his wife took her top off and threw it into the stands.
He's an animal.
He's ridiculous.
I love him. I think he's amazing.
No, it's great for the sport. I mean, this is great for the sport. I mean, we need faces. We need things we could latch onto. There's 5 heavyweight champions. Belts. Fortunately, Anthony Joshua holds 3, and Tyson Fury now holds the other 2. But in the fight, I love how we learned something in the McGregor fight. We learned the use of the shoulder. Boom, the shoulder pop. Mm. You know, it's not just a cool dance move. You could utilize the bar on a Friday night,
or to clear some space so you can get to the bar and order that next drink.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not just a bar move. It's a real move you could utilize in a UFC match. The clinch, using your weight. To throw it on some guy holding up, I don't care how big you are, holding up a 6'9", 273-pound motherfucker is tiring, you know? And you're in the clinch, and getting those shots in there. And that was a great strategy used by the Fury camp, and his jab is just so quick. It retracts like pop, pop, pop. It's so fast and so elite.
He also looks like he takes punches and like it just doesn't affect him.
Yeah.
He just like, boom, didn't hurt.
He's just a brick wall.
Didn't hurt.
He's like Brad Pitt in Snatch.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, Brad Pitt and Snatch, like, you thought that he was out. You thought he was out. He was kind of, like, wobbly and kind of, like, just, oh, he's done.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, bam,
yeah,
knocks out the big guy.
I mean, Tyson Fury finishes the fight, and he sings a full 2.5 minutes of American Pie. Doesn't miss a word.
Which is a, like, little soft because it is, like, a 5-minute-plus song, and I would have loved for him to go for the whole thing.
He went a while. He went a long time. Everyone was like, all right, how long is he really going to go?
He's saying, if you're at 2.5 minutes of American Pie at that point, you got to do the whole thing.
I'm so sad.
But he didn't even come in. He didn't come in during the chorus and just go, bah. He started from the beginning of the song.
Yeah, well, when he sung the last song, and Instagram took our post down,
that was bullshit.
I was a little salty.
Bullshit by Instagram.
We had a great video.
It was a great video.
It was an awesome video. It was one of our better ones.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to post it next week.
but the new one.
Oh, maybe. I think we should just post something else. Oh, maybe we could do this one.
I'm going to posit this. What would you do in your ritual coming to the ring? What would be like your shtick?
Because how did I come to the ring?
Because it was they both were pretty absurd, honestly. Yeah. Fury.
Well, at first Fury's was definitely absurd. He can't come in on a throne with these women carrying him on like a deck.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wilder's was a little more like, okay, swag. He means business.
Black History Month.
Yeah, but just like completely like, you know, Black Panthered out, you know, with...
I thought he looked like Sauron from Lord of the Rings.
He looked dope.
He always wears something...
He always has
the same
a mask.
Design.
He always has a mask.
I honestly wanted him to sit in his corner and have like... He had so much like armor on. I wanted each one of his like people in his camp to like remove a piece
he
off
probably
of
should have, oh, dude. The camp,
so
was
cool.
Off. That
honestly,
camp
was I was
off.
Thinking about, what if someone just ran out there with nobody? Just like... sprinted out there like some WWE stars do sometimes.
McGregor should do that. Slide in McGregor the ring. Should throw a kilt on and like sprint out William Wallace style. That'd be so sick.
Yeah, that'd be wild.
I know he's not Irish, he's Scottish, but no, but I thought that what would you guys do? What would you do?
What would my ring entrance be? It's different because this is boxing, not WWE. In boxing, I feel like they're allowed to do, I mean, WWE is a show, but the boxing, they're allowed to do this because it's like the closest thing we have to like the gladiators. You know what I'm saying? So there does have to be a little showmanship. So when people are like, oh, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder are over the top, it's too much, you know, it's a performance. It should be, because that's the part of the game. It's part of the game. Yeah. Think about Ali. Ali was a wordsmith. Ali's taunts and his chants and his vocal jabs were amazing. Mm-hmm. His rhymes. How would I come to the ring?
Yeah, what's
I don't
your
know,
ring walk?
What's my ring walk? I don't know if I'd use the armor, or I don't know if I'd be carried. I would definitely have a blackout. All the lights are out.
Like an Undertaker?
Like, oh my God.
Similar to the Undertaker, but the lights are out. And like, so it's like, you know, something's about to come. And then the music starts, right? I saw this in the first Creed. It was my favorite part of the movie. He comes out. The only lights
to Hail Mary, right?
Or
Tupac?
Not what Michael B. Jordan came out to. Oh, that's not me. What the other fighter? Don't look at me. I don't know his fucking name either. No one does. I mean, whatever he came out to, it was these British rappers. Awesome. And they had fire breathers. And I thought that was cool. Those are the only lights you could really see in the stadium. And so I want some serious fire breathers coming out, and then boom, the lights pop up. Obviously, I'm coming out to shipping up to Boston.
Yeah,
which is.
What am I coming out to?
Yeah.
All right, I got to think about this. Can I have livestock at all?
Yes.
Okay.
Anything specific or just like you're going to Noah's Ark this thing?
2x2? 2x2? Oh, that'd be so cool.
Actually, I think you should just stop right there. I think that's it. I think you should just no music, just animal sounds, and we're done. That's how you're coming out.
No,
that's
just it. Animals. Like two ox.
No, I know. But the
two alpacas.
Two sheep, two alpacas.
But the only noises you would hear would be from the animals. Is what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Like,
I thought you meant
no
just like,
music.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Okay. Sure. How about this? Like no music. Maybe just some drums going. And like you see like the graphics of like
yeah
like the forest and the jungle.
Sure.
And like my trunks are like leopard print.
Okay.
You're Tarzan basically.
Yeah. 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 Oh, and I have like a. Like a sash, but it's like made of, fur from a lion
okay.
or
that,
something.
That you, the pelt like of the animal that
a
you
pelt,
slayed
a pelt.
With your bare hands.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I have
which would be a great promo video for you as a fighter.
Yeah. And then right in front of me, I'm walking my tiger.
You're walking the tiger. Okay. Yeah. Nice. Very nice.
Tiger leads the way.
Cool. Cool. Toss. So I walk out without, not with my camp.
Okay.
The lights are on.
Okay. Is anyone home?
I'm wearing red and yellow flash costume, Barry Allen style.
Okay.
I walk out. They see me. Pitch black in the entire place. Now, I'm running, of course. I'm running to the ring. I hop into the ring. They throw the lights back on, and I'm sitting in my corner ready for the fight.
Dope. Okay.
And I'm, like, drinking a soda.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Any specific kind of soda?
Yeah, Dr. Pepper.
Not a LaCroix. Yeah.
That's not a soda.
It's a seltzer.
That's a sparkling water.
It's a sparkling water.
Yeah, so that's what's going down.
Cool. Nice, guys. But, yeah, going forward in the boxing realm, I think – Wilder's gonna, there's going to be a rematch. There's going to be a Wilder Fury 3 first before anything else goes down. Wilder has the rights within 30 days to exercise that rematch clause, and I think he obviously will. There's too much money in there, and I think he could win.
I want to see Wilder Joshua.
You're not going to see it. Just I, me too, but you're not going to see that. First of all, you won't see Wilder Joshua before you see Joshua Fury.
Fury, right.
Unless, I think that's going to happen first. I think Wilder's camp has to go. I think they have to look at this and go, okay, this really, I mean, it could have gone worse, but not much. I mean, that was not one of Wilder's best fights.
This is his worst fight. What are you talking about?
Yeah, his worst fight. Yeah, I mean, he was true. I mean,
he was undefeated.
It's not one of his best.
He was done from the jump. He was screwed from the jump. It was over from the jump. Fury dominated.
He got outboxed. He got outcoached.
Yeah, I think they need to go draw it back to the game plan. I think that him going up to the weight and dropping back down, whatever he was doing with his weight, I think they have to stabilize his weight, whatever he's most comfortable fighting at, and he has to beat him with speed. He has to go into that fight and work to beat him with speed because Fury has it down to a science how he was going to beat him, and it worked, and they executed it perfectly. Now, if it goes to – if Wilder wins the next one, then we have to see a fourth one. At that point, it's just crazy. I think for the best thing for the sport of boxing, we have to see a rematch. It's going to be a good rematch, but I think Fury has to win again, and then we get the highly anticipated Fury-Joshua. Joshua has a tune-up fight in the interim while they go up for Wilder-Fury 3. As long as he doesn't lose that fight, we're good to go, and we'll finally get a unified heavyweight champion across all five platforms, and maybe we could just unify the belt because it is ridiculous how many championship belts are out there.
Mm-hmm. Does Fury need to fight Wilder again?
Yeah.
For money.
No. It's in the contract.
Oh. He has to.
Wilder's the champion, and what he can go. Yes, he has a rematch clause.
Cool.
Interesting.
30 days, which he's not going
to
say.
I mean, he has to, obviously. But if I'm looking at this, if that clause isn't in the contract and I'm Fury, I don't need to fight him again.
Of course not, yeah.
Because I kicked his ass.
You don't need to, but I think he would.
I think he would. I think that Fury understands where the sport of boxing is, and he is just so gung-ho for whatever is best for it.
Yeah, if you beat him once.
He was so complimentary of Wilder after he won the fight. He was so complimentary. He was like, I know he's going to be the champ again. Excited to see him get there.
Yeah, I think they respect the hell out of each other. I think he's down for it. I think he wants the money. There's cash involved.
And a guy who's been through a lot and been in a lot of points in his life where he did not have any money at all. So, yeah, for sure.
And that was the big event of the weekend. We have a big week coming up of recording, just so you guys know and can be prepared for what to see in the Charity Stripe podcast going forward. Mason Gooding is coming on to record Monday. We'll be releasing that Thursday. We have Kyle Boone. We're getting into college basketball. He's coming on Wednesday. We're going to be releasing that next Monday. And after that, we have David Meltzer, former sports agent, now author. He has his own podcast. And motivational speaker.
Partners with partners NFL with great Warren Moon.
Warren Moon, first NFL autograph or any autograph I ever received as a kid.
Nice.
And then he'll be with the following Thursday. So a lot of cool stuff coming up, guys. We'll get ready for college basketball because that was a wild week. We saw 4 or 5 top 10 teams lose in the last 2 days. And
you didn't like lamely autograph like a napkin or something and put it up in your room and look at it and be like, one day I'm going to make it big.
No, it's a full Warren Moon photo. Autographed
memory. No, I meant your own autograph on a napkin.
No.
Not Warren Moon's autograph. That's cool. That's amazing. I love Warren Moon.
I've only signed one autograph before in my entire life.
Who was it for?
It was after my 8th grade production of Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. One of the nannies of one of the kids in the cast came up to me after with a Sharpie.
That's cute.
A playbill.
Honestly, good on her. I mean, just good foresight, really.
It's
investing in futures. I would be going to, you know what? next weekend. I'm gonna see. I'm gonna see what Santa Monica High School production is. I'm gonna go, and I'm gonna offer up just the playbook to every single kid in the cast because you never know.
You never know who's out there. I mean, listen,
just
honestly,
smart business decision.
If you're watching Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat and you look at that kid and you go, okay, there's a 10% chance maybe something happens with this little fucker. Fuck it, give me the Sharpie. Who's got a Sharpie? That's my first question during intermission.
I think it's a great investment. A Sharpie is what you go to Staples, Office Max, Office Depot, you buy a Sharpie for $1
and
30 cents.
You buy like
a 10 pack.
$5, right? You don't have to do any of the work after that. All you have to do is technically carry it in your purse or whatever
it's
you
have. It's here, will
pocket.
You sign this? That's all you have to say.
And I'm a 14-year-old boy. Fuck you, I'll sign anything.
Right.
Anything. That's the coolest thing ever. So that's the only autograph I've ever signed.
But has your signature changed over the years, you think?
Yeah, my signature now is just scribble, 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 and then I draw the Jesus fish.
Okay, well.
Yeah, but it's like any MLB player's rookie card. The first one is the best. Nick.
Yeah.
Come on.
I guess.
No one's going to call poo-poo. It's blatantly me. Cool. You could see it in the playbill.
Cool.
I signed it by my photo.
Dope.
It's the highlight of my career. And on that note, to the fans out there, swing on a full count, rip that puck, hit that putt, hit your PKs because they free and hit your free throws. Why, guys? Because they free. We out you. We love you.
Possible. Anything's possible!